What's in the news today?
With so many stories,
dozens of stories,
we're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's In Case We Missed It with the Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
Right, the case you missed it, all the stories we've been dying to get to, just haven't had the opportunity to do it yet. How about your Houston Rockets? Houston Rockets have not been talked about a whole lot this week. They have not been playing good basketball, have they?
Yeah, surprisingly, they've been talking a lot of basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because I think John thinks Silas should be gone already.
Oh, okay. So more big picture than...
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Do you think Silas should be gone already?
No.
I think he deserves the year.
I think it's in their best interest to let him stick out the year. I really do. Because, again, when you're thinking big picture, and when you're in a rebuild, just like we keep saying about the Texans, the same can be true of the Rockets. And that is, you know, because you only control your first-round pick for this remaining draft coming up, it's hyper important that you get the best pick you can possibly get. And keeping Silas around till the end of the year does exactly what you need to do. You will be in the contention for one of the top two picks, which are the, like when we talk about tiers, there's two guys and there's everybody else.
Yep.
If you're in the discussion for either one of those two guys, then Silas is actually doing his job until the end of the season. And then when you're ready to take that next step, you can find another coach that could possibly take you there.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with all of that. Rockets have lost 7 in a row. They've lost 12 of their last 13 games. They're at Sacramento tonight, a 9 o'clock game out in California. Not a good stretch for the Houston Rockets.
No, they're a week on the West Coast.
As of late. Oh, they're out there for the whole week?
Yeah, they got back-to-backs against Sacramento, and then I believe it's Clippers and one or two more games before they come back home. So you're going to see in a Monty McNair, a guy that was a Daryl Morey disciple, a guy that's been able to do some things since he took over the Sacramento Kings. Instead of Rafael Stone, if you would have tried to keep the guy that was truly Daryl Morey's right-hand man, you might have seen some of the advancement already, but I give Monty a ton of credit. I know Monty well. He's a great dude, very smart guy. But Sacramento is finally not the laughing stock of the league anymore. And the combination of bringing in a Sabonis, the development of De'Aaron Fox, some of the picks they've made, Sacramento's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, they are a fun team to watch. I don't think it's going to be a great trip for the Houston Rockets.
I think you're right.
Bill O'Brien, he's been rumored to be an offensive coordinator. He's a popular name in the offensive coordinator carousel this year in the NFL. Rumors about New England, rumors about Tennessee, which would be interesting if he's working under
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. Although Kelly's already over there in Tennessee. From a Bill O'Brien perspective, put yourself in Bill O'Brien's shoes. Get yourself the butt chin. Where does it make more sense for Bill O'Brien to go, New England or Tennessee?
I think... you don't know who your quarterback is, or if you know it's still Tannehill, I think you're limited no matter what. I think Bill O'Brien already knows Mac Jones. Bill O'Brien already knows Bill Parcells. Bill O'Brien already knows the New England way. I think it's the best for Bill O'Brien to go back to New England and possibly set himself up to be the ultimate successor to Bill O'Brien and to Bill Belichick and be a head coach again, as opposed to working for a guy that used to work for you and not knowing exactly what the quarterback situation is going to look like. I definitely think New England's a better opportunity for O'Brien.
Derrick Henry's about to be 29 years old, and that's the entire Titans offense. So you don't want to go to that.
Yeah, I feel like that's more of a sinking ship. Now, neither offense is great.
No.
Like, Mac Jones is all right. They spent a second rounder on Thornton last year. He didn't really live up to the hype. The receivers are kind of like a big bag of mediocrity. Although, I wouldn't be shocked if DeAndre Hopkins ends up in New England.
I would agree with that.
How about Bill O'Brien and DeAndre to New England?
Give Mac Jones
a weapon.
That's why they might not go Bill O'Brien.
Why?
Because I don't think Bill O'Brien... I don't think
DeAndre
Hopkins doesn't want to see Bill O'Brien.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Keep your baby mamas out of the locker room. You don't practice making it public.
Was that O'Brien or was that Easter?
And then traded him? Oh, no. That was Bill.
Yeah, you're right. Cliff Kingsbury, OC. Go with it. Look, package now, deal. Kingsbury and Hopkins. They leave Arizona together and go to New England together.
That's feasible. That's definitely doable. That's more likely than Hopkins and O'Brien going to New England. If O'Brien goes to New England, Hopkins ain't going there.
And I think that's the best case for Cliff, too. If he's going to rehabilitate himself as an OC, go someplace where you have a filter and a strong coach. And with Bill Belichick, I think maybe takes out some of the craziness we've
seen. And a built-in opportunity to take over sooner rather than later because Belichick ain't doing this forever.
He's in his 70s.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Bill O'Brien, the next head coach of the New England Patriots. How about Aaron Rodgers? Next team that he plays for. The odds are out on this. If it's not Green Bay, which I think it's like a very interesting caveat because I think Green Bay would be the heavy favorite here.
It's the only place he can play, Jeremy, from the cap perspective.
Yeah, I mean,
they set it up to where he's making 50 mil. The dead cap and all of the different constraints they put on the contract. As much as everybody likes to have fun with these polls, there's two options. He quits or he plays in Green Bay. He's met now. This is day two. He's meeting two straight days with Mark Murphy, the president, and with Gutekunst. And it's going to be real interesting. He didn't do McAfee this week. He's going to do McAfee next week. Hopefully, for everybody's sanity, including Mike Greenberg, let's hope that he comes out next week, Tuesday, on McAfee, and we figure out what the hell he's thinking.
You think he's back?
I think he's playing one more year.
With the Packers, honestly, of course.
Yeah, because when I was watching the way that debacle ended on Sunday night, the one thing I kept thinking about was he doesn't want to go out like this. He doesn't want his last game and his last season to be as just as ugly as it was. As much as they won four in a row and could have had an opportunity to get in the playoffs until he lost the chance to win five in a row, he didn't look good. They're pointing fingers at him as why they lost on Sunday. They're also looking at him throughout the season. He's going to say he was hurt. They were going to say he's losing a step. And I think that his ego, as big as it is going to say, I want to go one more go-around, but I want the franchise to go give me a veteran receiver, to give me another tight end, to do whatever I need to do one more time, and then take another crack at it.
The odds, if it's not Green Bay, interested in this?
Sure.
Raiders 4-1, Colts 5-1, Jets 5-1, Titans 5-1, Panthers 7-1. San Fran all the way at 8-1.
And San Fran loves him. But it depends. I mean, I think a lot of it is hinged on Brady for the Raiders and for the Niners.
Is the Raiders thing just because Devontae's there?
No. Well, and they have a chance to win. They still have a good roster. He likes Waller. They tried to get Waller in the Devontae Adams trade. And if you could get Devontae and Waller, and if they can keep Jacobs, I think that's a really good fit for him. And he's close enough to California,
it would be better weapons than he has currently.
Oh, absolutely.
Where do you think would be the team that he would go to if it wasn't Green Bay? And I know that you think it's very unlikely, but
I think if he had his preference, it would be San Francisco.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I'm surprised the Raiders would be the favorite there because I don't really see that as an option. I really don't. I think it'd be San Fran. I think the Raiders is Brady's job.
I think Brady has to
Las Vegas
because, like I said, it all hinges on Brady because the two teams directly associated to Brady next year are San Francisco and the Raiders. So I think he's got to wait a little bit to see how that plays out. Because there's such a connection between McDaniel and Brady. But I think that ideally for him, it would be the same two teams.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. Other stories on In Case You Missed It. Great news from Buffalo as DeMar Hamlin has been discharged from a Buffalo hospital.
It's unbelievable.
He went home from Cincinnati, traveled to Buffalo a couple of days ago, was still staying in a Buffalo hospital they could keep an eye on him.
Tweeted yesterday. They were making every test make sure that he passed before they thought about discharging him. Yep. That's unreal and such a blessing that he went home.
Yeah, that's awesome news that we see DeMar Hamlin looking good. I saw some people voting for Player of the Year and MVP and Rookie of the Year. I saw some people casting their ballot on Twitter. They had DeMar Hamlin listed as Comeback Player of the Year.
I get it from the sentimental.
I think it's going to happen.
From the heartstrings?
I think it's going to build momentum
and
happen.
Doesn't he have to come back before he wins the award?
Everybody's definition is different. You can't tell people how to vote.
But who votes on it? Isn't it the writers?
Yeah.
I don't think the writers are going to do
that. I saw one writer who put his ballot on Twitter today, and he said he had DeMar Hamlin as the comeback
player. But I don't think the writers as a whole.
I don't think the
consensus would be that he wins.
I think it might build momentum.
He might get some votes. I just don't think he's going to win.
I think it might build momentum. Who's the leading favorite for comeback player of the year? Like, who is he going to beat out?
Is Jalen Hurts in the conversation?
Probably not. He played a lot of games last year.
I heard someone that made a lot of sense. I'm trying to think of who it was. It wasn't Derrick Henry. Could have been Josh Jacobs.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a better story than DeMar Hamlin.
No, though. The story is different than the actual, you know.
I saw that and I was like, okay, he didn't really come back yet, but I guess everybody's definition of comeback is a little bit different.
Well, I always talk about the criteria. Yep. Hall of Fame and voting on anything. We got to know the criteria.
Came back from the dead.
He most certainly did.
The biggest game of all.
Geno Smith?
Could be.
Geno Smith's a big one.
Is Geno Smith?
I knew we were missing one.
Did he come back better than DeMar Hamlin?
I mean, I hate splitting.
Why can't I do that? I hate splitting
hairs on this because it sounds like I'm taking a shot, but he hasn't come back
yet. Y'all are just a bunch of jerks. Listen to y'all.
See, that's why I said you can't do that.
Is there a bigger comeback in the NFL this year than DeMar Hamlin? Absolutely not.
The story? No. And because it was life and death, not football? No. But the way the award is normally voted upon,
normally voted upon.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley, somebody mentioned that. 1209, Hamlin came back to life. Does that count? I think it would.
Why, obviously you do.
I think it does matter a whole lot.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley's a good vote.
It is a good vote.
He was under 600 rushing yards
last year. I think Geno Smith came from the depths of just awfulness. I'm not going to say the depths of anything else.
He was. He had great coaching coming up. He really did. Geno Smith. He did. He really did. He's
Dana Holgerson.
He's a great quarterback.
West Virginia.
I mean,
Dana knows
maybe a feather in the cap of our favorite candidate, Benny Johnson. Jamal Williams could be thrown to that. He hit, 17 touchdowns this year?
Broke Barry Sanders' record.
Just touchdowns alone, yeah.
Broke Barry Sanders' rushing record.
That extra game to do it.
Carlos Correa.
Ooh, finally done deal.
He's back home in Minnesota. He signed with two other teams, and he's back home in Minnesota. But he passed his physical today. That deserves a round of applause. Congratulations.
So that wasn't
his leg
drawn
magically
out
healed
process.
In the last couple weeks?
Yeah.
I think part of the negotiation this go-around with Boris was, we'll talk to you again, and we'll figure something out as long as you're willing to waive whatever's been the hang-up with the Giants and the
tell
Mets.
Us if you're hung up about this leg right now. Otherwise, we're going
is
to
it a leg?
Game.
I mean, you're being a little bit critical.
Yeah, he broke his leg as a prospect. Okay.
It was the metal plate in his ankle that they had it inserted. Now, the problem here is not that it's not healthy. They just have fears that over the course of a 12 or 13-year contract, they're scared of it. Whereas a six-year deal makes it a little bit more sense. Minnesota desperately wanted Correa. They gave him all that money last year. They gave him a bunch of different contract offers this year before he ever bolted and signed with San Francisco, then New York. But he's back home in Minnesota after he signed with two other teams.
Better love the money because he shouldn't love winning.
They're
not going to win at all. They're not. I don't know. They'll maybe make the playoffs.
They were in contention this past year. They were in contention this past year. The good news is that that mound there in Minnesota isn't going to have subpar mound visits from some other twin shortstop. That the mound,
that's value.
The mound
I can't
in
believe
Minnesota.
The Mets passed up on that.
I can't either. The mound in Minnesota is the happiest person with this news of Carlos Correa signing with Minnesota. Tua will not play on, I forget what day they play, but will not play in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs against Buffalo. Did not get out of concussion protocol. Mike McDaniel announcing that. So Skylar Thompson. The Miami Dolphins are putting all of their hope to beat Buffalo in Buffalo on Skylar Thompson.
Bills by 100.
Teddy Bridgewater, I saw him on the practice field dancing around throwing footballs today.
He's dancing,
if there's
but he ain't
any
starting.
Possibility that Teddy Bridgewater can play, he should be your only play.
I think they announced
Skylar
Thompson.
I don't know if they,
yeah,
announced
they announced
it or not.
They announced Skylar Thompson.
That's ridiculous.
Mike McDaniel said the Dolphins are preparing for rookie Skylar Thompson to make his third
career
start.
You prep all you want, but by Sunday, you better put Teddy Bridgewater behind center.
Who's losing by more this week? The Seahawks on the road at the 49ers, or the Dolphins going to Buffalo?
I had someone tell me that the Seahawks were going to cover and possibly... Oh, someone on Twitch.
I could see that.
I don't think so.
I think they could. I mean, Brock Purdy, first playoff game, that's some nervous moments. I don't think they're going to win. What's the spread in that game? I imagine it's over a touchdown, right?
I don't know.
I mean,
but to win it outright, I don't. No,
I'm not touching the money.
I don't think they're scaring them, and I don't. Yeah, and I don't think they're winning outright. Maybe they'll cover. I don't know.
They're getting 9.5 points.
That's a lot of points.
Against Brock Purdy,
I could see them covering, but I don't think Seattle.
Yeah, I see 9.5 for the Seahawks, and the Bills are 13-point favorites.
Yeah, the question was who keeps it closer, Seattle or Miami? I think Seattle keeps it closer.
Yeah, if Skylar Thompson is starting for the Dolphins, yeah, I think that the chances are that. The Seahawks could keep it
close. I don't
closer.
Know if Bridgewater's much better.
I do.
I don't know, man.
I think he's better. I think experience matters. I think, you know, being able to, whether you call it a game manager or do whatever you need to do, and especially what he did with when he filled in for Drew Brees on a really good team, and with the receivers that he has, I think he's better than Skylar Thompson.
I don't want to die on the Skylar Thompson hill.
I'm just wondering how far you want to go with it.
I just don't think Teddy's all that good. That's the point. It's not really a competition between the two. All right, those mound visits in Minnesota. How about those mounds at Minute Maid Park? You know, pitchers and catchers report in about a month.
Yep.
You get one more Astro move this offseason. It could be a contract extension. It could be a free agent that you sign. You get one more. That's all you get. You get one more move for the Houston Astros to make between now and when pitchers and catchers report on Valentine's February 14th. What is it? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you.
It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 4965. I must say, Branham's constant jabs at certain opinions in Houston have gotten so annoying that I've gotten to highway to hell for this time slot from now on. Bye, guys.
Ouch. But why do you got to tell us? Just go.
Because he's probably not telling the truth.
Well, we've seen that'll happen a lot.
4965 will be back. He'll probably respond to what I just said. But it's all right. He wants to listen to some Homer radio, and that's fine. Sometimes we need that.
Oh, that's
we need that. We need that in our life sometimes. Pitchers and catchers report in about a month. February 14th, Valentine's Day. My wife asked me what I wanted for Valentine's Day. I said pitchers and catchers reporting, honey. You get one move.
It's romantic.
You get one move. I'm not the most romantic guy. I need to work on that. You get one move to make for the Astros. Only one. You don't get in more than one. You get a contract extension. You can bring in a free agent. Only one move for the Astros between now and February 14th. What is the move that you are making? 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. 713-780-3776.
You want Yuli back, right?
I'll get to mine, but I want to give you the honor.
See, I don't want you to do that. Sometimes I want you to lead off. I want to hear, because, you know, you've
had such a, I like to defer.
You've had, again, you're not a romantic, but you've had such a love-hate relationship with Yuli.
Well, 4965 is annoyed with my constant jabs at certain opinions.
Oh, right.
I feel like we should lead with you right
now. So now you're catering to that texter?
Yeah, I'm just, you know what I'm going to do from now on? This should be my New Year's resolution.
Oh, a little late, but better late than never.
I should pander to the audience. I should pander to the fans. I should have a little calming air in me, right?
Where well,
I
instead of being our version
just give
of Skip,
the popular opinion.
You're going to be our version of Skip. Instead of clickbait, you're going to be our,
I don't,
our
hold on, whoa,
the
whoa,
voice
whoa, whoa,
of the fan now.
Clickbait? How do I give out clickbait?
No, you just like to fire people up. Sometimes.
I don't give out clickbait at all. Nothing.
So you're
going to
become
clickbait.
The people's champion?
Absolutely. I'm just going to, for the age, put on for the city, all of that stuff. Just whatever the popular
so
opinion
the put
is
on
in the city,
for
I'm
the
do
city
it.
Answer to this question is sign Kyle Tucker to a long-term extension.
You think so?
It's not what you or I think.
I don't think that's the. I don't think that's.
I think it is. Well, I think there's two. I think that again, when we start out, lately we've been talking about: are you looking short term, long term? Short term, it's re-sign Yuli.
Well, you have one answer,
right? Long term, it's lock up Kyle Tucker. But I think for the long term betterment of this franchise, because they don't really need Yuli like they did a year ago, I think that the smarter Astro fan would say lock up Kyle Tucker long term.
That would be my vote.
See, well, there you go.
I think most of Houston would say Yuli, because Kyle Tucker still has 3 years of club control.
But I could also see one of the popular opinions still being to make a splash move like trading for Brian Reynolds. If they think that's completely dead.
I saw someone put out a list the other day. It's not that great. What's left?
No, what's left? And I mean, like, Jerks and Profar. You got Michael Wacha. I mean, there's no one really there that's going to change your fortunes or improve your lineup.
No, and I think most people now are just focused on what they already have had and what they got. And if they knew that they had Yordan and Kyle Tucker locked up for the foreseeable future, I think most people would feel pretty damn good.
Yeah, the splash move would be to trade for somebody that's coming up on free agency, if you could think you can get that done.
I think the splashiest move would be to get Kyle Tucker to take a contract similar to Yordan Alvarez and lock him up for about the same amount of time.
You are just getting reachy now.
Why?
Ripping off Kyle Tucker with a contract of Yordan Alvarez.
So they already ripped off Yordan, so it would be... it's reachy?
Yeah, it's reachy, because Kyle Tucker already turned down a contract extension from the Astros.
But we don't know how far away they were.
We don't, but we also know that he didn't agree to the deal.
Do we know what he was offered?
We don't, but we know he didn't agree to a deal.
He's an everyday outfielder, so he thought he deserved more.
And it's also unlikely to sign players once they're entering arbitration, because now they're getting real significant money. They're much closer to free agency. Usually those type of deals are done before they're close to arbitration. They're usually a year or two out from arbitration. So I don't think it's like, the Kyle Tucker being an option here, I think that's fine. But to say, like, now you're throwing on the caveat of, oh, yeah, sign Kyle Tucker to, like, $1 million. Like, that's kind of like, and that's not what you suggested.
Right.
I'm just saying, you get one realistic move from now until pitchers and catchers report. What is it? Like, Kyle Tucker, I think, would be a good one. I think that a lot of people in the city would like that. I'm not sure that more people would say that than re-sign
Yuli, we're not though. Pandering to the fans, my choice would be Gene Segura.
He signed. He's a Marlin, isn't he?
I don't know. I didn't
see
that.
Yeah, I think he, I'm pretty sure he is a Marlin.
Yeah, he's a Marlin. Well,
because the Phillies Johnny tweeted Cueto. Out some sort of kind of goodbye video.
Oh, did they?
Okay,
because I haven't seen any of the recent transactions. Obviously, in baseball, hasn't been top of mind. But Gene Segura as a replacement for the bench utility guy.
The Diaz spot?
Yeah.
Would have been fantastic. That makes a lot of sense if you can identify that guy.
Yep.
I think Kyle Tucker would be an answer here. Oh my goodness!
I could not believe when I read that board.
Let's go out on hold.
We just had Cash It or Trash It yesterday when I threw out that there were articles about this.
Can we just preemptively trash this?
Let's go out to the eight. Let's see what he's got. Let's get Alex's board. We're a show of the people, and my New Year's resolutions.
Oh, you are the man of the people.
Yeah, I'm just going to pander to the city from now on. Every city that's the popular opinion, every point of view that's the popular opinion of the city, I'm just going to agree with it. I'm going to put on for the city, for the age, all those things. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. All right, Alex, you'll have to turn down the radio as good as we sound. I like hearing my voice, but you have to turn that down a little bit. Alex, what is the one move? You get one move between now and when pitchers and catchers report. What is the one move you're making for the Astros?
Sign Trevor Bauer.
Oh, no, Alex.
Alex, turn the radio down.
That's too late. Oh. The echo of oh, no is
hilarious. Yeah, the combination of the radio in the background and his
and the actual take
gets him hung up on.
Sign Trevor Bauer. Would you be happy if the Astros signed Trevor Bauer? 713-780-ESPN.
I'm interested if anybody would be.
I'd rather the Texans take a wide receiver at two.
Would Alex Bregman be happy if you signed Trevor Bauer?
If you eliminate the aggression in the bedroom from Trevor Bauer, which hard to eliminate
it's
that.
It's very hard.
Yeah. It's impossible to eliminate that.
That's a part of the story now.
Just work with me here for a little bit. Let's just eliminate that for a second. Let's eliminate the pictures of the young lady. Eliminate all of that. The potential of adding Trevor Bauer to this locker room and killing the locker room exists. And because of that, there's no way that Jim Crane, who has the who's listening to Jeff Bagwell, Enos Cabell, Dusty Baker, and Reggie Jackson, there is zero chance that those old school baseball guys would run the risk of ruining what is one of the best clubhouses in baseball, close knit groups in baseball, that is coming off a defending world championship. Like if they didn't win the World Series and they had all this pressure and you know, they didn't have a 6-man rotation, they lost Verlander, but they needed one more starter. Like remember when they signed Odorizzi because they were desperate to find a fifth starter after the injury. I think to McCullers. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Verlander even. That would like maybe come into play. But with the potential of Bauer crushing the clubhouse, with the potential of the backlash that you would have with Bauer, that's not even potential, that would exist. And because you already have a solid 6-man rotation, the chances of Bauer being in an Astros uniform are none. They're not even slim. They're none. They do not exist.
The thing is, too, the Dodgers have been the most likely team to be accepting to a lot because they just were interested in getting the best team money could buy over the last several years. And when their entire clubhouse basically rebelled and said, if you even think about bringing this guy back and setting foot in our clubhouse again, all the top names and all the biggest names, everybody was out on him. Like, there's no way. Because to everything that you said, if we are eliminating, which is impossible to do, the young lady in the situation and everything outside of baseball, inside of baseball, no matter what he's done in the past with this team, he's such a loose cannon every day with his social media and otherwise, and the way that he can start trouble that isn't there for your franchise. And with everything that this team has been able to kind of work their way out of from 17 to where they are now, they don't want this kind of bad look again.
You would hope they've learned their lesson from the Roberto Osuna situation because they've kind of done this before. Obviously, different general manager. A few years ago, a lot of time has passed. They've kind of done this before on a smaller scale, but you would hope they would learn their lesson from that because obviously they got a lot of backlash for that, and the performance on the field wasn't even worth it.
Was it not? Osuna's pretty good as an Astro, and he didn't crush the clubhouse.
As a closer, he was good.
Did he elevate them to where they couldn't have gone without him?
He was their best reliever. They replaced Ken Giles with him. That was a huge upgrade performance-wise.
I just don't think it elevated them past the point to where they could have gotten without him.
Maybe not, but he was their best reliever. Like, I don't want to fight this fight. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I'll tell you the one move that I would make, and curious hearing yours as well. You get one move, one final move for the Astros before the pitchers and catchers report on Valentine's Day. What is that one move for you? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I would suggest the one move that you make today is a drink at the end of the night. And when you're pouring that drink, it better be Gentle Ben. The vodka, okay, Gentle Ben's got you covered there. The gin, Gentle Ben has you covered. The bourbon, Gentle Ben has you covered there as well. Gentle Ben uses a state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that makes their stuff better in purity, makes them better in smell, makes them better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Bend is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Bend, compare it to your brand, and you will be a Gentle Bend person, I promise you. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. You don't have to work through your drink. You can find Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin, of course, at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentlebend.com. But start to look at those Total Wines in the area. Check out the end caps at a bunch of Total Wines throughout the city. They have the special Gentle Bend end caps going on through this month. You got to get your hands on those bourbon as well from Gentle Bend. Double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. You can find it at Total Wine, the end caps. You can find them in some specs around the city of Houston as well. You can find them around the area. Galveston, Economy Liquor, SKO Liquor in Pearland, Reserve Liquor in League City. Are you headed to a Rockets game soon? Well, you can find Gentle Bend in any single bar inside the Toyota Center. Just ask them for Gentle Bend or head to the Gentle Bend Bar, Section 125, and try their signature drink, the Big Shot Bob. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Bend.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, what is the one move you would make for the Astros? You get one move, no more, no less. One move to make. I'm still reeling over the Trevor Bauer
suggestion. Did you make
suggestion.
Yours? What? Did you?
I haven't.
No. You haven't revealed it to the peeps yet?
But I teased to the break. Glad you were listening, Blankers.
Well, I'm here. Did you take a poll so you can find out what your opinion should be?
Yeah, see, oh, that's a good point. Houston, yeah. what should I say? I don't want to take any shots at like these Houston sports opinions. So, my New Year's resolution is probably going to last all of the rest of the show, like Brandon Beautification does. That didn't even last a day. I'm just going to pander to the audience. Resign Yuli Gurriel. Make sure that Yuli Gurriel is a Houston. Actually, I wouldn't. I can't even do this. I can't even live out the bit of being a panderer. I can't do it.
See? Short-lived.
I kind of
really like, short-lived.
I kind of
you
like,
hate the people so much you can't even yeah, stick see, with that, it for that, more yeah, than
that's
1 second.
That's the crux of it, B-Man.
I just hate the people. I hate the people of this city.
You like the drama. You said you love the drama. So
no,
you...
I don't love me creating.
You don't want to be buried
well,
in the H.
Well, that was the caveat
problem?
Before.
Bury me in the H. Yeah, bury me in the H.
Brian's got to move.
I love the city of Houston. We all know that. I've lived here my entire life. I'm also not
the
a
people
panderer.
No, he doesn't hate him. He likes to stir the pot a little bit with him every now and then.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, I don't do it intentionally. I just have my own opinions. I know. What have I done intentionally?
Sometimes on Twitter, you like to stir it.
Oh, I definitely do it on Twitter.
Going. That's what I'm saying.
Definitely do it
okay,
on Twitter.
Okay, so there's my answer.
Yeah, if I have the time, I'll get into it a little bit on Twitter. I kind of want Jerickson Profar. I want a super utility player. And look, like Yuli Gurriel, like I understand the nostalgia. I understand wanting to keep that connection, especially to Cuba. I understand all of that. Yuli Gurriel limited as an offensive player a year ago. I don't think he can really give you much outside of first base defensively. Like, I think it's a bit of a reach at this stage of his career that he's going to give you a lot of innings at third. He's going to give you nothing in the middle infield. He can't play outfield at all. So, like, what is his value? His value is that he gives Jose Abreu days off. Abreu plays like 155 games. That he DHs against lefties. Like, I wouldn't mind it if Yuli Gurriel's back. Like, I'm not anti-Yuli Gurriel, but if I only get one move, like, that's not the move I'm going to make. I want a dude that's a super utility guy like a Marwin Gonzalez that we've seen, like Ben Zobrist, who started the super utility movement back in Tampa Bay, former Astro minor league great. I want that type of guy. I want a guy who can play everywhere, like kind of like an Aledmys Diaz a little bit. I know he couldn't play center. But a dude that you can just insert in the lineup whenever you need to give somebody the day off. He's basically your 10th regular. And for me, I think Jerickson Profar is the one that's the best name still out there.
Do you think he would agree to be not a starter?
I get one move. Jerickson Profar doesn't have a choice in this. Like, oh, I don't God. Know that he. I don't know that he would. I don't know that he would.
Now,
I
mean, we're on the same page and the same wavelength in terms of when I didn't know Gene Segura had signed with anybody
right.
else.
Gene Segura is very much in this conversation.
Yeah, and I think Gene Segura is a better hitter.
A little different, more of a contact hitter.
Yeah, he's a better hit for
he
average,
touches
for
the
sure.
ball better yeah. than Profar. Profar doesn't, you know, hit for a great average, but probably has more pop at this stage of their career. Now, not a ton. He's not going to hit 30 home runs, but he gets extra bases, balls in the gap. He's more of an athlete.
Yeah, defensively, at least we know Segura is a really solid infielder, too, whereas I think Profar moves all around the diamond. He's one of those guys who can play a lot of places. Yeah. Does he ever play any one place well?
And he hasn't played infield a lot recently.
Right.
So there's concern there of like, well, what can he give you at shortstop? Probably not much. It's probably just in a pinch. What can he give you at second? I think he can play second.
Last year,
right.
He only played outfield, correct?
Yeah, he played outfield
and DH.
I'd say the last couple of years, he's basically changed his entire defensive profile to be an outfielder.
But he can play 10 games at shortstop when Pena needs days off. He can play 15 games at second. He can play a few games at third base. He can, of course, play the outfield as well. But I want that super utility. And right now, the Astros, like, if you were to go super utility on this year's team, there's a couple of options. Like, Mauricio Dubon can play everywhere, but Dubon's going to hit .215. David Hensley's a popular name. We haven't seen David Hensley play outfield. Mickey Story, the manager from Sugarland, said he could probably play left field, but we haven't seen it. And also, you have options with David Hensley. Like, David Hensley's the perfect dude to start the year out in Sugarland, and if you have an injury, you have somebody that you can rely on, that you can count on, that gets called up. So if I get one more move to make, for me, it's Jerkson Profar. 713-780-ESPN. What is it for you? 713-780-3776. Plus, he's a switch hitter. You got a bunch of left fielders or a bunch of left-handed hitters in the outfield.
He thinks he's way better than he is.
I don't disagree with that.
And he's, you know, and he's, I mean, he's out there wearing his flashy belts and everything else when he's not even close to the fifth best player on the team.
On the baseball field?
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing flat belts?
Like, the Padres, and for some reason, and I saw it more with them than any other team, where, you know, you wear your belt with your pants. I guess Major League Baseball treats that like socks, wristbands, and other things where it's not, like, mandatory you wear one color with one buckle. He was wearing, like, gold, sparkly, gold lame belt with a flashy big buckle, and I'm going, this dude's like your 19th best player, and he's bringing all the flash. I get it if Machado does it, but not him.
19. So why can Machado and Tatis do it, but Jerkson Profar cannot?
Because he's not that good.
You got to have a certain level of production before you can wear gaudy belts?
Yes.
Maybe he thinks he's the Dior of defense.
I don't need a Dior of defense with the team that I have.
If I want a utility infielder that wears gaudy belts, I'll go buy it at Dior. He's the product here. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Ryan, you got one move. What is it?
We need more lead pitching. Trevor Bauer.
Oh, another one? And then he hung up.
Hung up on Mike.
Otherwise, I was going to say, what an outlandish take. It's kind of like drop the messiness and run.
I think that Trevor Bauer should get a chance to pitch in baseball. I'll say that, but it's not going to be on my team. It's not going to be with my team.
Well, not with the history of what your team has gone through. There's no way it makes sense.
Especially with how good you are.
And with how good your roster is and how good your pitching is.
And that you won last year. Like, if you're desperate, like the Dodgers, it kind of makes sense. Like, they're kind of desperate for a World Series, and it's why they even told Trevor Bauer.
But that's why they did it before they knew what kind of a weird freak off the field he was.
Who's you saying?
The Dodgers got him before all that stuff came to light.
Trevor Bauer, and if we believe Trevor Bauer or not, he said he met with the Dodgers the day before they released him, and they said they were working on a way to bring him back.
He said that the powers that be that he met with basically told him they wanted him back. And I have a hard time believing that if 24 hours later they went by.
It does explain why they waited so long in that window to release him, though, because when that window opened, they didn't do it right away.
Sure. They were exploring all their options.
I think they were calling all their roster to make sure one last time that they
calling
did not,
other teams. Well, they didn't trade could be made.
I don't think anybody's trading for that guy, because I think that just that what the damage is so far down the road, whether he was convicted or not, that even the teams that think they could get a steal of a deal in a small market are thinking twice and three times before they even – I don't think anybody's giving him a shot.
I think so. I think he'll pitch in baseball this year. Absolutely.
Cincinnati or Cleveland?
Something like, maybe. He played on both of those.
I was going to say, he's been there before, so they knew what they're getting. They know what they're getting into. With Tito Francona in Cleveland, you've got a guy that, you know, knows the kind of, he threw the ball from the mound over the freaking fence in the outfield in a tantrum one day, and they found a way to make it work. So I could see them.
I could see a small market team, because, like, no one would have traded for Bauer because he had the huge contract.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense for a small mid-market team to trade for Bauer plus the contract.
Because you can't take away his abilities on the field.
Sure.
If you get a stud pitcher at an absolute bargain bottom basement price for a year, you're going to take it.
And we see a lot of small mid-market teams that aren't very good do this all the time.
Kansas City.
Where they sign a guy that's like a value deal with the idea of trading them at the deadline. And that's when a team can really be desperate. It's like,
cashing in on his abilities on the field for 1 year, and then when it's time to get paid.
But if you're a mid-market team and you're not winning a whole lot of games, you don't need the full year. You need the first half of the year, and then you trade them at the deadline. Or, like, Tampa Bay is a team that always makes, like, shrewd moves in terms of getting a lot of value for the dollar. Trevor Bauer, because of the off-the-field stuff, is going to Like, he's going to give you more value than the dollar.
Plus, you only affect 5,000 people.
Exactly. That's like, I actually was going to go there with that.
It's true.
Like, they do not have as big a fan base to upset. Like, there's a whole lot of people in St. Pete, a retirement community, is not going to get up in arms
Dick
about whatever
Vitale,
Tampa Bay's
their
doing.
Biggest, their biggest fan or season ticket holder probably would be an outrage. But other than that, 4,999 other people is all you got
to
worry about.
Dick Vitale is going to have to come up with a new reason of a 3D man. If Trevor Bauer is pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays, something totally different. 0830, stay far, far away from Bauer. I don't think I could continue to root for the Astros if he was brought in. Funny that you say that, but you rooted for the Astros when they brought in Osuna. And
doesn't
I stick
this
with
feel
him.
Like an Angels move?
Maybe.
I mean,
this text continues to say, and I stuck
of...
with them during the low times. Bring back Yuli for one more year. 6181, Yuli for utility. Somebody said resign Jeff Luno. 2920, Jerks and Profar, The same guy that challenged a runner to run on him and lost the game because of that? Yuli's greater than Profar. Profar's a better player than Yuli Gurriel
right
now. At
this point in their
like,
both
you
careers.
Might like Yuli Gurriel because of the, like, because you're from Houston and Yuli's had a lot of great moments
it's
in the city.
History, yeah.
And maybe you don't like the gaudy belts. Maybe you don't like Profar getting ejected in a playoff game, which I can understand all that stuff.
Yep.
But if you're talking about production in 2023, Jerks and Profar is going to have way more production than Yuli Gurriel.
It's trending that way. Yeah. I'm a man of the people. I don't want to kibosh Yuli at all.
Because I'm a man of the people, I'm going to point out he had a 300 batting average in all three playoffs.
In the playoffs. I knew someone was going to go there.
Small sample. What was his regular season numbers?
I'm a man of the people. I'm just pointing out
biggest
the playoff
stage.
Numbers.
Ryan said, I'm just saying Trevor to troll you guys. Bleep that guy. 5531. Should Trevor Bauer get an opportunity to sign a record deal? And then he says, check out this music, please.
I don't think that he should get opportunity
like
to
spam,
sign a
German.
Record deal. I think that if you believe, if you are one of the people that believe that everybody deserves a second chance.
I think he meant like a musical record. Like, I really do think that. Because he says, should Trevor Bauer get an opportunity to sign a record deal, check out his music, please. I was not aware.
Trevor Bauer have some music
I was online? Not aware that Trevor Bauer had music.
I don't think I ever need to be aware of it. I don't think that I need to sample any of that.
I think I'm glad I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
What genre of music do you think it is?
You are intrigued.
Well, I'm going to look it up. Maybe we'll bump out a break with it. 3-4-0.
I don't think we're going to go that far.
It has nothing to do with current allegations. I've just never liked him. Bring back Morgan Insberg. It's 9-0. Where's Jason Lane while you're at it? 713-780.
Are those both converted position players to pitchers?
Or Insberg never pitched.
You sure? In the minors? Didn't he give it a go?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
I know Jason Lane did for sure, but I thought Morgan Insberg tried it. Yeah,
I don't think Insberg did. I could be wrong. Should the Bears, they're the number one, they have the number one pick come April 27th. Is there a world that exists, a universe that is out there where the Bears take Bryce Young? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Chicago Bears, thanks to the Texans' choke job, winning in the final game of the regular season. How did they? I still can't believe they did that.
How do you say choke job and winning?
Am I wrong? Do you detect the lie there?
There's the answer to the trivia question.
They lose the number one pick of the draft. They don't tank properly. Bears general manager Ryan Poles has backed Justin Fields as Chicago's starting quarterback for the 2023 season, and he said he would have to be absolutely blown away to take a quarterback with the number one overall pick in this year's draft. This is kind of similar to the Sean Payton quote where he's not taking a 5'10 quarterback unless he can walk on water. People think Bryce Young can walk on water and that he will blow people away. Who do you think is better? Who do you think would have a better NFL next 5 years, NFL production next 5-7 years, Justin Fields or Bryce Young?
Ooh. Look, I think much like we talked about with some of the guys what Phil Simms was talking to the bench about, I think Justin Fields has some work to do on some aspects of the passing game, but what Justin Fields has showed you in terms of a horrendous team around him and his ability to make plays, extend plays, be physical – he is a specimen of a quarterback, too. I think that I'm going to take what I already know can be, he has been decent and good, but could be better, as opposed to if Bryce Young turns the corner the wrong way one time and gets crushed, it's very concerning. I'm going to stick with Fields, though I understand if the Bears' new general manager who didn't draft Justin Fields is open to looking that direction.
Why do you think Fields is, like, more durable than Bryce Young?
Oh, size?
Okay.
He's a big physical kid. He's thick. Strong. He's athletic.
He's not the tallest, but he's thick. I mean, 6'3".
How tall is he?
6'3".
He's 6'3".
I thought he was more 6'1",
6'2". No. He's tall. He's fit. He's got the measurables. He's
Do you believe physical. In that, though? That, like, bigger dudes get hurt less?
I mean, he did pretty significantly hurt his shoulder this year.
Yeah, he's a little injury
prone
this year.
But he also took a freaking beating because his offensive line sucked. He had nobody to throw to.
Yeah, that Chase Claypool trade did not work out.
Didn't work out. The other guys that they tried to claim were their wide receiver one and a good receiving
Mooney,
were not.
Yeah.
I just think that there is a huge upside still for Justin Fields. And because of the measurables, there are things where he could get better where the measurables are what you're going to haunt Bryce Young his whole career. Unless he just goes
off. My only pushback onto that is, just as far as their injury concern, I think Fields, when he started having success, and probably why he got hurt, is when that offense completely changed and he started running the ball
a Because
whole
that's
lot
all they
more.
Can do.
Exactly. So if he's running the whole lot more, but Bryce isn't having to run, then maybe that makes the injury risk a little more equal.
But if you keep him and you trade down and you can get a receiver and you can get some other weapons for him, and they are going to have so much money under the cap
right.
that they have to spend, that they are going to go out and try and fortify their offense, I think, more than anything else. I think Fields is a guy that they're going to live with rather than take the risk of starting all over yet again with Bryce Young.
I think Young is going to be better for the next 5-7 years. I think Bryce Young will have a better NFL career than Fields. Okay. If you believe that Bryce Young is better than Fields, and it comes down to talent evaluation and who's like making that decision, but if you believe that Bryce Young is better than Fields and you're the Bears, don't you, if there's not a trade offer that you're willing to entertain, don't you have to go Young over Fields if you believe Young's better than Fields?
Only if you can find a home for Fields. That's, that
which shouldn't be hard. Like, I think Fields
should,
would get,
I
Fields would get a first
yeah,
rounder.
Like Indianapolis and Carolina would
Carolina's
probably
the one that
you.
Came to my mind immediately yeah. that said, look, we're not Indianapolis level where he has to be great right now. But if he's just good, he could be better than anybody we brought in the last 3 years.
Hell, the Jets would probably listen to you as well.
Maybe.
I mean,
I think the Jets feel like they're a quarterback away from being playoffs, and I don't know that Fields is a guy that this next year takes the Jets to the playoffs.
Man, they're almost in the playoffs with Mike White.
Okay.
Like, I think Fields is an improvement there. Like, I the point is, I believe Fields gets you more than I think you get a top half of the first round draft. I think Fields commands a top 16 pick in the draft.
Okay,
you draft Bryce Young if you're the Bears and you think Bryce Young's better than Fields. You draft Bryce Young and instead of getting the assets of trading down, which you could also do that if you're going to go with Fields. You have all of a sudden a top 16 pick. You got Bryce Young and a top 16 pick. Like, makes sense to me.
Okay, so what is Indianapolis giving you to move up if they want Bryce Young?
I mean, that's all. That's
what's
I've
the
seen
best
so
case? You
many
is there one involved
scenarios? I think that it would require at least a one. Yeah.
So you get the four and an extra one.
Yeah.
I think that's enough for the Bears.
So if you get a four and an extra one, you're probably getting
Fields
defense and a future one, as opposed to having Bryce Young, and we're operating that Bryce Young's going to be better than Fields.
See, but I think
and
their
a top
offense,
16 pick.
See, you think they'd go defense with the pick?
If the Bears,
yeah,
yeah, probably. If they're in the top four, there's
in the top four. I get it. But if not in the top four, yeah, I just their defense was serviceable. It wasn't bad.
I mean, if you're
their offense, everywhere you turn, their line was garbage. Their receivers were terrible.
Sure, you could
their running game is the only thing that you could say was okay.
Maybe Quentin Johnston could be in play there.
Yeah.
I've seen Quentin Johnston on some mocks go really, really high. I don't think he's a top five pick. I think he's more of a top 10,
can you double
10,
down and trade twice?
Pick.
Can you trade down to four
yeah,
and then trade
I mean,
four?
You can, but it's hard to have those conversations, yeah. right? Like if you feel that Bryce Young is better than Justin Fields, I think you have to take Bryce Young. I really do. I think it's an Arizona situation.
I think
where you had Josh Rosen and then you drafted Kyler Murray, and Josh Rosen still went for a second and a fifth.
See, I think that the argument that you make is supported as much as anything else, aside from if you're saying who's going to be better in 4 to 5 years. But I think the other thing is that's the biggest factor in all this. If you're the general manager that didn't take Justin Fields, then the easiest out is I didn't draft him. I'm not sold on him. And so I want my guy in here. And we always say you want your GM to be able to trust his own gut to make the moves to get the players that he wants. It's a ballsy move, but I could see that being the way that he gets it done by going, look, I know a lot of people love the fact that Justin Fields ran the crap out of the ball at the end of the season and had all these 40-yard-plus runs and touchdowns and everything else, but if I'm going to build this team the way I was given the money and the contract to build this team, then I want a guy that I like, not a guy that Ryan Pace liked, and I'm going to take my guy.
Ultimately, I don't think they do. Go Bryce Young over Fields, but I do think it's in play.
He started winning.
I do think it's in play.
We know how volatile a sports city Chicago can be with opinions. He won over a majority of the city by the end of the year, and that's really hard to do. And I think that there's enough people that are willing to wait and play it out while Justin Fields gets better, as opposed to taking another step back and starting with another quarterback yet again.
I don't know how much of a step back it is, though, because like Fields just barely came on the scene a little bit this year. And if we think that Bryce Young is leaps and bounds ahead of Fields, and again, we're kind of operating on that hypothetical because you don't really think that.
I don't say leaps and bounds. I could see how Bryce Young in a 4 to 5 year span is a better quarterback.
I think as a passer, it's pretty clear he is. Yeah. I mean, Fields passed for over 200 yards twice this year.
Yeah.
And look, it's more than just a Bryce Young, Justin Fields conversation. Because now it's like, what assets can you get for potentially number one? What assets could you get for Fields? So it's not just Fields versus Young. It's what the total package looks like. I think it's in play.
Well, and
I think
and
it's
because
in play for Chicago.
You are admitting, which you have to do, that you are in complete rebuild yet again. So if you're in complete rebuild, then nothing should be off the table.
Right.
And you shouldn't be thinking about the short term of the guy because you already took high draft capital and you spent a lot to get him. Again, all you got to do when you want the alibi and the bailout is, that wasn't me. That was the old regime. That was Nagy as well,
but even
as
then,
Pace.
But even then, like, you're not really losing a whole lot of return on Fields. If we assume that they're going to get a top half of the first round pick, which I think that they could. I think they could get a top 16 pick. You drafted him number 11.
Yeah.
So you're not really losing out a whole lot for the return on investment.
But you gave up to move up to get him, I believe.
Did they move up to trade?
I believe because, remember, they were desperate. Pace and Nagy were desperate to save their jobs. And I believe they, just not as significant as when they moved up to get Trubisky, but I believe they moved up to get Fields.
They could.
Because I remember he
I don't know they didn't. Ooh. The pick was did belong to the Giants at one point, but I don't know if it was a draft day trade.
I think they moved up to get him because, remember, Fields didn't go to the
Giants
draft. He was at home.
The Giants traded its first-round selection in Chicago in exchange for future first- and fifth-round selections, 20th and 16th. They didn't trade up a whole lot. Oh, they did.
First
they traded
fifth.
Two firsts.
Yeah. Oh, there
and,
you go.
And a first. They traded their first that year it. And a yep. future first.
See,
so they did give up a lot.
So that's the second time they gave up a lot, and that was the straight desperation move of Pace and Nagy trying to save their jobs and save their butts.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so now, no matter what you get in the draft, if you trade Fields, you're not getting as much back as you gave up to get it.
Sure, but you're also thinking you're getting a better quarterback.
You think you
are. And you think that you need a better quarterback, perhaps. 5535, would you trade next year's Cleveland pick for Fields? I'm not too high on Fields, so I wouldn't trade a first-rounder for Fields. He's talking from a Texans perspective.
See, I still believe that Fields can turn into a good quarterback in the NFL, but I know where the scrutiny comes from, and I know that there's reasons behind it that people believe he's got it. They don't know. Again, we said, how much can you fix to be the kind of accurate passer that you need to be in the NFL? I think the jury's still out, but I think there's enough positives there that there are enough teams that would say, I'd still take him, whether it be short-term or being the franchise quarterback. I'd take him to be our quarterback better than what we've had.
2727 brings up an interesting point of view from a Bears perspective that I kind of like. Trade back from one, load up on picks, draft Bijan with a first-round pick, and use majority of other picks on O-line and go run heavy. I don't love drafting running back in the first, but if you have multiple firsts because you trade down from one and you build this run-heavy offense with Fields and Bijan Robinson, that's pretty intriguing.
You could probably trade some running backs, too, along the way that you have on your roster that aren't bad to get you some other picks, too.
Yeah, maybe. You're going to like this. Peter Schrager, who's on Good Morning Football. He also,
Shrags.
He's on Fox, too, sometimes. I saw him doing a little interview with Sean Payton. He just tweeted about 10 minutes ago, Houston Texans have also requested permission from the New Orleans Saints to speak with Sean Payton, per sources. He cannot formally interview with any team until January 17th.
I'm going to love it, but at least, like I said, explore every option.
I love that they're actually interviewing him. I want no part of hiring him.
Right.
But I love interviewing
That was
Sean
to my
Payton.
Point of even yeah, if you get up to 10, but you make sure no stone left unturned.
I think it's a great idea. So, look, the Texans, again, you're right. They're turning over every stone, right?
Yep.
So far, the list has been very good. I want no part of hiring Sean Payton, but it makes perfect sense to conduct an interview with Sean Payton.
Do what you haven't done in the past to at least change the narrative yep. that we're going to do whatever it takes to get the right guy in here.
This is probably the only scenario, though, that Nick Caserio is no longer with the team.
I think that was the primary one, although Harbaugh was a close second in terms of who he was referring to when saying if the right guy, meaning I have to step back to get him, is in the equation, I'm willing to do that.
All right, that's it for us. Thanks to B-Mac for doing most of the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Coming up next is The Wheelhouse on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.